Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday morning, October 19th, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. This is a podcast that is dedicated to the public reading of the Word of God, along with the reading of some prayers and a devotion each morning. This was something that was motivated by, this is actually part of my morning process each morning, these prayers and the devotion and the Bible study reading, and with a realization that more and more there's evidence out there of the church being biblically illiterate, and it's not a reference on their capability or their intellect. It's just that they spend less and less time in the scriptures. So I was thinking that this might be a help, that I could share this time with them and we would both be in the scriptures. It was also motivated by the fact that I know there are folks out there with, in some cases, chronic conditions, and part of their symptoms is a brain fog. That makes it harder for them to be able to sit down and actually read. So my thought was, at least in this case, they could listen at least and be exposed to the Word of God. It was my hope that would be a help to them, that would be a balm to them when they were struggling to actually read themselves. We do our prayers each morning are from the Valley of Vision. It's a collection of Puritan prayers. We have three to four we do each day. We have a couple of standards we do each morning, and then we do whatever particular day of the week's morning prayer there is in there. And then we do a devotion from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. We do whatever the morning devotional is for that particular day. And then we do our Bible reading. The plan we're using is a Read the Bible in a Year plan that was created by Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842. Which is one I've been using for 6 years or more now. And so we're doing that. And that plan actually takes you through the New Testament twice in the year and the Old Testament once. So we're using that, and we're reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which at this point is the most texturally accurate to the earliest manuscripts we have of the documentation. So that's what we're going to do. I'm finally going to remember. It's been a couple episodes I've forgotten. The links to everything I'm going to read, where you can read along with me online, is in the show notes. But I also have links in there to the hard copies of the resources I told you about. With as crazy as this world is, who knows whether we're going to have power or not? Who knows whether we're going to have the internet or not? Who knows what's going to get taken off the internet due to censoring and everything else? So I would definitely recommend you get the hard copies of. I've even included a link in there for the PDF of McShane's Bible reading plan and his letter to his congregation when he created it and distributed it to them. So let's go ahead and get on with our reading. So we're going to start with our prayers first this morning, get ourselves in a prayerful state of mind and in a spiritual state of mind to prepare us for the reading of the Word. So as is our practice, the first two prayers we're going to do this morning are our standards. They're resting on God and grace and trials, and the motivation behind these and why I read them each day is they help me to deal with anxiety and depression in the face of everything that's going on in this world. They remind me that while I'm weak in myself, in God there is strength, and that He is in control of this. He has ordained this, and that He will care for me. So here we go. Resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. All right, now grace and trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them, unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now, the fourth day morning, since it's the fourth day of the week, the fourth day morning, true Christianity. Lord of heaven, thy goodness is inexpressible and inconceivable. In the works of creation, thou art almighty. In the dispensations of providence, all wise. In the gospel of grace, all love. And in thy Son, thou hast provided for our deliverance from the effects of sin, the justification of our persons, the sanctification of our natures, the perseverance of our souls in the path of life. Though exposed to the terrors of thy law, we have a refuge from the storm. Though compelled to cry unclean, we have a fountain for sin. Though creature cells of emptiness, we have a fullness accessible to all and incapable of reduction. Grant us always to know that to walk with Jesus makes other interests a shadow and a dream. Keep us from intermittent attention to eternal things. Save us from the delusion of those who fail to go far in religion, who are concerned but not converted, who have another heart but not a new one, who have light, zeal, confidence, but not Christ. Let us judge our Christianity not only by our dependence upon Jesus, but by our love to him, our conformity to him, our knowledge of him. Give us a religion that is both real and progressive, that holds on its way and grows stronger, that lives and works in the Spirit, that profits by every correction and is injured by no carnal indulgence. Amen. All right, our devotion for today, it's the morning, October 19th devotion. The scripture for it, is 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Are you mourning, believer, because you are so weak in the divine life, because your faith is so little, your love so feeble? Cheer up, for you have cause for gratitude. Remember that in some things you are equal to the greatest and most full-grown Christian. You are as much bought with blood as he is. You are as much an adopted child of God as any other believer, An infant is as truly a child of its parents as is the full-grown man. You are as completely justified for your justification is not a thing of degrees. Your little faith has made you clean every whit. You have as much right to the precious things of the covenant as the most advanced believers. For your right to covenant mercies lies not in your growth, but in the covenant itself. In your faith in Jesus is not the measure, but the token of your inheritance in him. You are as rich as the richest, if not in enjoyment, yet in real possession. The smallest star that gleams is set in heaven. The faintest ray of light has affinity with the great orb of day. In the family register of glory, the small and the great are written with the same pen. You are as dear to your father's heart as the greatest in the family. Jesus is very tender over you. You are like the smoking flax. A rougher spirit would say, "Put out that smoking flax. It fills the room with an offensive odor." But the smoking flax he will not quench. You are like a bruised reed, and any less tender hand than that of the chief musician would tread upon you or throw you away. But he will never break the bruised reed. Instead of being downcast by reason of what you are, you should triumph in Christ. Am I but little in Israel? Yet in Christ I am made to sit in heavenly places. Am I poor in faith? Still in Jesus I am heir of all things. Though less than nothing, I can boast and vanity confess. Yet if the root of the matter be in me, I will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the God of my salvation. All right, now to our Bible reading. Sorry, need a little coffee there. We're going to be reading 1 Kings 22, 1 Thessalonians 5, Daniel 4, and Psalm 108 and 109. So 1 Kings 22. So they lived for 3 years without war between Aram and Israel. Now it happened in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Then the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us? But we are sitting still so as not to take it out of the hand of the king of Aram." So he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle at Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire first for the word of Yahweh." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not yet a prophet of Yahweh here that we may inquire of him?" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of Yahweh, but I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah." But Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Hasten to bring Micaiah, son of Imlah." Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting each on his throne, clothed in their royal garments, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, made horns of iron for himself and said, "Thus says Yahweh, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are consumed." All the prophets were also prophesying thus, saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and succeed, and Yahweh will give it into the hand of the king." Now the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Behold now, the words of the prophets, as if from one mouth, are good towards the king. Please yet let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." But Micaiah said, "As Yahweh lives, what Yahweh says to me, that I shall speak." Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain?" And he said to him, "Go up and succeed, and Yahweh will give it into the hand of the king." Then the king said to him, "How many times must I make you swear that you will speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of Yahweh?" So he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains, like sheep which have no shepherd." And Yahweh said, "These have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace." Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not say to you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" Then Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. And Yahweh said, Who will entice Ahab so that he will go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said this while another said that. Then a spirit came forward and stood before Yahweh and said, I will entice him. And Yahweh said to him, How? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Then he said, You shall entice him and also prevail. Go out and do so. So now behold, Yahweh has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets, but Yahweh has spoken calamity against you. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, How did the spirit of Yahweh pass from me to speak to you? And Micaiah said, Behold, you will see on that day when you enter an inner room to hide. Then the king of Israel said, Take Micaiah and return him to Amon, the commander of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus says the king, Put this man in prison and feed him sparingly with bread and water until I come back safely. And Micaiah said, If you indeed return safely, Yahweh has not spoken by me. And he said, Listen, all you people. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up against Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into the battle, but you put on your garments. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. Now the king of Aram had commanded the 32 commanders of his chariots, saying, Do not fight with small or great, but with the king of Israel alone. Now it happened that when the commanders of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, Surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. So it happened that when the commanders of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel in a joint of the armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, Turn around and take me out of the fight, for I am severely wounded. Now the battle raged that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot in front of the Arameans and died at evening. And the blood from the wound ran into the bottom of the chariot. Then a shout of lament passed through the camp close to sunset, saying, Every man to his city, and every man to his land. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And they washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria. And the dogs licked up his blood. Now the harlots bathed themselves there, according to the word of Yahweh which he spoke. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab, and all that he did, and the ivory house which he built, and all the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his father, and Ahaziah his son became king in his place. Now Jehoshaphat the son of Asa became king over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. And he walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He did not turn away from it, doing what is right in the sight of Yahweh. However, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. Jehoshaphat also made peace with the king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and his might, which he showed and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And the remnant of the male cult prostitutes who remained in the days of his father Asa, he purged from the land. Now there was no king in Edom. A deputy was king. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they did not go, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber. Then Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, Let my servants go with your servants in the ships. But Jehoshaphat was not willing. And Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of his father David, and Jehoram his son became king in his place. Ahaziah the son of Ahab became king over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat king of Judah, and he reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. So he served Baal, and worshipped him, and provoked Yahweh, the God of Israel, to anger according to all that his father had done. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they were saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman who is pregnant, and they will never escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore comfort one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we ask of you, brothers, that you know those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and that you regard them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but examine all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I implore you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And now Daniel 4. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all the peoples, nations, and men of every tongue that inhabit all the earth, may your peace abound. It has seemed good to me to declare the signs and wonders which the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs, and how strong are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream, and it made me fearful. And these fantasies, as I lay on my bed, and the visions in my head, kept alarming me. So I gave a decree to bring into my presence all the wise men of Babylon, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the conjurers, the Chaldeans, and the diviners came in, and I said the dream to them, but they could not make its interpretation known to me. But at last Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belteshazzar. Shazar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And I said the dream to him, O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, since I know that a spirit of the holy God is in you, and no mystery is difficult for you, say to me the visions of my dream, which I have seen along with its interpretation. Now these were the visions in my head, as I lay on my bed. I was looking, and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew large, and became strong, and its height reached to the sky, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Its foliage was beautiful, and its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beast of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the sky inhabited its branches, and all flesh fed itself from it. I was looking in the vision in my head as I lay on my bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven. He called out loudly and said thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its foliage and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches. Yet leave the stump with its roots in the earth, but with a band of iron and bronze around it, in the new grass of the field, and let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man, and let the heart of a beast be given to him, and let 7 periods of time pass over him. This edict is by the resolution of the watchers, and the decision is a command of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High is the powerful ruler over the kingdom of mankind, and gives it to whom he wishes, and sets up over it the lowliest of men. This is the dream which I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, say to me its interpretations, inasmuch as none of the wise men of my kingdom is able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for a spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, was appalled for a while as his thoughts were alarming him. The king answered and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation alarm you. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, if only the dream applied to those who hate you and its interpretation to your adversaries. The tree that you saw, which became large and grew strong, whose height reached to the sky and was visible to all the earth, and whose foliage was beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field inhabited, and whose branches the birds of the sky dwelt. It is you, O king, for you have become great and grown strong, and your greatness has become even greater and reached to the sky, and your dominion to the end of the earth. But in that the king saw a watcher, a holy one, descending from heaven and saying, Chop down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump with its roots in the earth, but with a band of iron and bronze around it in the new grass of the field, and let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beasts of the field until 7 periods of time pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the resolution of the Most High, which has reached my lord king, that you be driven away from mankind, and your place of habitation be with the beasts of the field, and you be given grass to eat like cattle, and be drenched with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time will pass over you, until you know that the Most High is the powerful ruler over the kingdom of mankind, and gives it to whomever he wishes. And in that day, they said to leave the stump with the roots of the tree, your kingdom will endure for you after you know that it is heaven that rules with power. Therefore, O king, may my advice seem good to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness, and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity. All this reached Nebuchadnezzar the king. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king answered and said, Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal house, by the strength of my power and for the glory of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven, saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is said, the kingdom has been removed from you, and you will be driven away from mankind, and your place of habitation will be with the beasts of the field. You will be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you know that the Most High is the powerful ruler over the kingdom of mankind, and give it to whomever he wishes. Immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was accomplished, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. But at the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes toward heaven, and my knowledge returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. But he does according to his will in the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and no one can strike against his hand or say to him, What have you done? At that time my knowledge returned to me, and my majesty and splendor will return to me for the glory of my kingdom. And my high officials and my nobles began seeking me out, so I was established in my kingdom, and extraordinary greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true, and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. All right, now Psalm 108. My heart is set, O God. I will sing praises even with my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Yahweh, among the peoples. and I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the skies. Be exalted above the heavens, O God, and your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be rescued. Save with your right hand and answer me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will exult. I will portion out Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet of my head. Judah is my scepter. Moab is my washbowl. Over Edom I shall throw my shoe. Over Philistia I will make a loud shout. Who will bring me into the well-defended city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have you, O God, not rejected us? And will you, O God, not go forth with our armies? O give us help against the adversary, for salvation by man is worthless. Through God we shall do valiantly, and it is he who will tread down our adversaries. And Psalm 109. O God of my praise, do not be silent, for they have opened a wicked mouth and a deceitful mouth against me. They have spoken to me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without cause. In return for my love, they accuse me, but I am in prayer. Thus they have set upon me evil for good and hatred for my love. Appoint a wicked man over him, and let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him come forth a wicked man, and let his prayer become sin. Let his day be few. Let another take his office. Let his sons be orphans, and his wife a widow. Let his sons wander aimlessly and beg, and let them search for food from their ruined homes. Let the creditor seize all that he has, and let strangers plunder the fruit of his labor. Let there be none to extend loving kindness to him, and let there be none to be gracious to his orphans. Let those who follow him be cut off. In a following generation, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before Yahweh, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before Yahweh continually, that he may cut off their memory from the earth, because he did not remember to show loving kindness, but persecuted the afflicted, the needy man, and the disheartened to put them to death. He also loved cursing, so it came to him, and he did not delight in blessing, so it was far from him. But he clothed himself with cursing as his garment, and it came into his inward parts like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him as a garment with which he wraps himself, and for a belt with which he constantly girds himself. This is the reward of my accusers from Yahweh, and of those who speak evil against my soul. But as for you, O Yahweh, O Lord, deal with me for your name's sake. Because your loving kindness is good, deliver me. For I am afflicted and needy, and my heart is pierced within me. I am passing like a shadow when it is stretched out. I am shaken off like the locust. My knees are feeble from fasting, and my flesh has grown lean without fatness. As for me, I have become a reproach to them. They see me, they wag their heads. Help me, O Yahweh my God. Save me according to your loving kindness, and let them know that this is your hand. You, O Yahweh, have done it. Let them curse, but you bless. They arise and will be put to shame, but your slave shall be glad. Let my accusers be clothed with dishonor, and let them wrap themselves with their own shame as with a robe. With my mouth I will give thanks abundantly to Yahweh, and in the midst of many I will praise him, for he stands at the right hand of the needy, to save him from those who judge his soul. All right, that's our reading for the day. Let's see, did I have anything specific? I don't think I had anything otherwise to speak of today. As I mentioned before, there's the possibility of a change going forward in my ministry, and I'm not going to speak specifics yet, but I could definitely use prayer to so that I can a prayer so that I will prayerfully and biblically consider these possible changes. I would definitely pray for you. I know this world is crazy around us. Many times in the week, I get to the point that it's like, I just don't want to turn on the news. I don't want to see anything. I just am tired of what's out there. So I definitely pray for you, that you will find peace in God. It can be very tough, I know, to find any level of peace, any level of grace. But what we have to remember is that God is in control of all of this. We may not understand what's going on, but this is ordained by Him. All of this is ordained by Him. So, I hope you have a wonderful day. Let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for getting us to, bringing us to where we can spend this time together in your word and in prayer and devotion. Dear Lord, dear Lord, we would again pray. Wow. We would again pray that this time in the word and in prayer and in devotion would lift us, would equip us, would edify us, and would hedge up our ways, would make our walk more and more focused towards holiness, more and more focused towards being imitators of you, towards being imitators of Christ. Dear Lord, we would definitely continue to pray for our country as it charges further and further down the way of Sodom and Gomorrah and beyond. And Lord, we would pray for a revival in our country. Lord, we would also continue to pray for those that have been impacted by Ian and all its aftermath, as well as any other of the storm systems and stuff coming through. And Lord, we would pray that in all of it, you would be glorified, that your saints would stand up and would show clear witness of you, and that in that, those that are not your saints would be brought to a saving faith. Again, Lord, we pray for revival in all of this. But most of all, we pray that your will would be done. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you go out and have yourself a wonderful day. And again, do all that you do today for the glory of God. Have a good one. God bless.